Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is, well, it's Friday Eve, and for me, it's kind of like Friday. I shan't be here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. And I always remind my friends who are Christian, who say to me, man, I never heard of that. What is that? I tell you, and I say this with all due respect and with as much love and consideration and brotherly feelings as I can, you need to learn about it. And the reason, I think, is pretty straightforward. If you are a follower of Jesus, you would want to know about the holidays that Jesus observed, right? I mean, just, it's one of those opportunities to... teach a little bit, but just in a friendly way, say, hey, it is something you should know about. And I'm very, very happy to say that so many folks throughout the years have said, you know, you prompted me to do that. And that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that. A little something to think about. All right. That's my good deed for the day. Thank you very much. Please remember your waiters and waitresses. Tip everybody on the way out. Try the veal. Oh, we've still got to do the rest of it. Okay, I got you. Fine. Thank you. Jeremy is reminding me, yelling at me from all the way back in the radio factory to keep going. I will. Hopefully we'll make it through the next couple of hours. We got some great people dropping by. Our buddy Brian Maloney is going to be here just a half an hour. Get his appraisal of where we are in terms of the election. Man, it is so interesting. Now, I am actually not a political nerd. I'm not a political wonk. I used to be so obsessed with politics, and I'm not anymore. I care about it because I love my country and I love my Commonwealth and I love the people that I have the opportunity to interact with and help and serve and all that good stuff. But I swear to you, as sure as I'm sitting here, I am not obsessed with politics. There are others who are. I'm not. But having said that, oh man, there's some really good political stuff going on right now. And there is that part of me, because there really is a very nice part of me, a good part of me. Yeah, it doesn't always come out, but it's there, I'm telling you. Like right next to my my dark black chunk of coal, that's my heart, you know, like the Grinch. I feel sorry for Kamala Harris. There you go. I'm saying it publicly. I know it comes as a shock, and it should come as a shock. And one of the people who is the most shocked to hear that is me. I actually feel sorry for her. You know, every once in a while, you'll see somebody who's just completely and totally out of their league. Somebody who is trying to do something that they are woefully ill-equipped for. Grossly unqualified to do. Right? I guarantee you, at some point in your professional career, you've had someone in a supervisory role, and you look at him or you look at her and go, wow, this is not the job for you, is it? And maybe you want to be nice, or maybe you don't want to be nice. I don't know. But you've encountered a person like that. Maybe it's a sports person. Maybe you play some sort of recreational ball or something like that. And you've got somebody at first base, and every time the ball comes to them, they drop it. And you're thinking, there's no amount of practice that's going to make you good at this. You just, for whatever reason, you don't have the skill set. It could be, I don't know. You pick something. My frame of reference, I swear to you, is always the professional one, because I've seen so many ham and eggers throughout the years. who find themselves placed in positions that they shouldn't have, and then everybody else suffers as the result of it. That's an easy one. And I know, because I live on planet Earth, that there are a lot of people who have found themselves in that situation. That's the Kamala Harris situation, and that's why I feel sorry for her. It's not that I think she has good ideas. It's that I don't think she has ideas. I think that she is repeating lines. I think she has memorized certain statements. Well, you know, obviously, I'm not Joe Biden. That's the opening line for what would you do differently? Question about economics? Well, you know, I was raised in a middle-class household. And my mom, my mom was raising me and my sister. And then up the street, we had a neighbor, and we looked at her like our second mom. Right? I've heard these enough that I have now committed them to memory. I get the second mom thing, by the way. If you had a mom who was continually working outside the home, you know, there comes a point as we go through life, people say, oh, well, this is what normally happens. This is what usually happens. This is what traditionally happens. And we had, for the longest time, we had husbands and wives. Men went out. We did the hunting. We did the gathering. Women were making sure that everything on the home front was taken care of. Right? Just traditional roles. And there were plenty of women, really smart women, who said, well, I like the idea of this particular career or this particular craft or this particular, whatever it is. I don't know that I want to give that up. Okay. Now, that's a much tougher putt to make, in my opinion. But it happens. You have situations where husbands and wives split up, or perhaps they were never married in the first place. You get those situations, right? You've got the baby mamas. God, I hate that phrase, but okay, you know what I'm saying. Or the absentee father. Hate that situation as well. And so, allegedly, that's the situation that Kamala Harris wants us to believe she was in. That she had an absentee father. Well, we need to remember something. She didn't really have an absentee father in the traditional, generally accepted sense. The generally accepted sense, when we use that term, is, well, you know, this guy, this gal, and the next thing you know, he takes off. That's not what happened. Her father was a very well-respected economics professor, a hardcore socialist, of course, at Stanford. Just give me a second to Stanford. Yes, where so much. Someday I want to go visit my money at Stanford. It would be so cool to see what they've done with it. But I know. Well, but it's very expensive for the wah, 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 wah at Stanford. Let me tell you something. And they don't even give you the T-shirt. I had to pay full price for every T-shirt that I own. But that's where her father was. Now, her mother and her father split up. I got it. Got divorced. And the mother went where? Well, she went to be a big-time professor and researcher in Montreal. Kamala Harris graduated from high school in Montreal. Kamala Harris lived her teenage years in a rather well-to-do section of Montreal. She wants you to believe it was solidly middle class. I'm here to tell you, as someone who not only has spent a lot of time in Montreal, but seriously investigated moving to Montreal, she wasn't living in a working class neighborhood. Not even close. Not even close. But that's the story that she peddles. And I look at this and I'm thinking, okay, well, what's the next story? And can we investigate that? One of the stories that's been crafted for her, of course, is she was a prosecutor. My God, she what did she say? Why, I'm the only one on this stage who's ever been a prosecutor. I was prosecuting transnational crime. Now, let me point something out to you. And this is not to knock anybody who is in the trenches in the world of prosecutors. Different states have different names for them, right? Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, where I grew up, we had district attorneys. Florida, where, assuming Tel Aviv is still under attack, Florida is where I'll wind up. They're called state's attorneys. Here in our beloved Commonwealth, we have Commonwealth's attorneys, and in California, also district attorneys. Well, she was an assistant district attorney in Alameda County. They don't prosecute transnational crime. Well, wait, wait, she was the elected DA in San Francisco County. Absolutely correct. Do you know how many transnational criminal prosecutions originate in and are prosecuted by the San Francisco County District Attorney's Office? Zero. Kamala Harris has never actually been in a position in any office where transnational crime was investigated or prosecuted. Well, that's just the fact. It's the same way that I can sit here and tell you, you know, I used to be a cop. It's absolutely correct. But if I were to sit here and tell you, oh, yeah, you know, I was investigating organized crime in Eastern Europe. No, I wasn't. I was locking people up for DUI. I was locking people up because they were beating the hell out of somebody other than somebody who wanted to have the hell beat out of them. I can't tell you that I was the lead detective on any big cases because I never was a detective. I was a patrolman, blue shirt, no stripes, no bars, nothing. I did what needed to be done during each of those shifts, and that was it. I didn't have ongoing cases. Now, occasionally, you might look at it as an ongoing case because you lock somebody up today. It's October the 10th, 2024. I guess it's ongoing because you're not going to see them again after preliminary hearings, after arraignment, stuff like that. You're not going to see them for months because it gets handed off to somebody else in, again, I was in Pennsylvania, to the DA's office. I might see them in a year. The DA is going to have to refresh my memory. Who are they and why did I lock them up again? But I wasn't arresting transnational criminal operatives, nor was Kamala Harris investigating and prosecuting transnational crime. Simply put, how do I say it nicely? Well, that's just not true. That's all I'm going to say, because that's the nicest way to say it. It's not true. She has, in many ways, been the example of the Peter principle. She has failed her way to the top. She has found her own level of incompetence at each level. And it all started by being Willie Brown's gal pal, his girlfriend. He was married. Now, I do want the record to reflect, Your Honor, she was not married. Now, I think technically she's still engaged in adultery then, right? Or is it just the person who's married who is, you know, adulterizing? Because Willie Brown was married. She wasn't. There's that priceless little piece of audio of her being asked by one of the local San Francisco TV stations, oh, are you his daughter?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I can tell you exactly what he looks like naked, though.
Oh, ooh, no, no, no. Keep that information to yourself. Except those of us who lived in California at the time would ask, did he always wear the hat? Because he always had. Willie Brown was sharp. Willie Brown was stylish. And here's something you may or may not know. I have a Willie Brown suit. Willie Brown, when he was the Speaker of the California Assembly, despite the fact that he was a far left wing guy, he was a regular on my show. We were, well, not like we were going out clubbing or anything, but we were friendly and he was very nice to me. And I thought that was great. And he wound up giving me one of his suits. And somewhere inside of some storage box somewhere, I've got it. But I would want to know if he was wearing the hat because he always had good-looking hats. She's just not ready for this. I don't think she's ever going to be ready for this because she's 60 years old. And I don't think you can get to a point when you are 60 years old where you are going to absorb so much information and become just so comfortable with it that you're ready. So I do. I feel sorry for her. All right. Well, no, I feel better. It is 316 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Lucky Road Run Shop. I have been a very, very loyal customer for 5+ years. I was introduced to Lucky Road by my friends Dr. Martine Rose and Dr. Graham Rose, or as I like to say, Dr. Rose and Dr. Rose. They're passionate runners, and I was running at the time. I said, you got to check out Lucky Road. Go see Jeff Van Horn. They actually gave me a gift certificate to go over there. And I have fallen in love with the team at Lucky Road. I love the product. And even though now I can't run anymore with the injury, I still walk. So I've got exactly the right shoes. And that is they are determined to do at Lucky Road. They are determined to meet you exactly where you are and get you in exactly the right shoes for what you're going to do. I'm going to remind you, I go to the store in Willow Lawn. You might go to the one in Midlothian. There's one in Carrington, one in Fredericksburg any day now. Short Pump location is opening up. And online all the time, LuckyRoadRunShop.com. LuckyRoadRunShop.com. Wow. That's rather funereal there, Germ. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I've got happy news I got to share with you. My buddy Dave Saunders, who you know has been like the king of public relations in Central Virginia for, I don't know, 100, 200 years, whatever it is, Madison and Maine. He, a couple of years ago, bought the Texas Inn. And they've got different locations. Today is the 89th birthday for the Texas Inn. And if you're going to run down 2901 Park Avenue, 89 cents for their hot dogs. And let me tell you something. These are not hot dogs like, oh, I think I had a hot dog for lunch. These are hot dogs like, I got to go take a nap. Yeah, seriously. Go check them out. It's just today is the 89th birthday, 2901 Park Ave. Go in and enjoy them. I do feel a little sorry for her. Not a lot. I mean, I feel sorry for the rest of us if, in fact, somehow she becomes president. But, yeah, Ron DeSantis, I just love this guy more and more and more every day. Ron DeSantis had a lot to say, including I am talking to the president, because Kamala Harris is again trying to make political hay out of Hurricane Milton. And once again, Governor DeSantis said, I don't have time for this. I got millions of people in Florida without power. You know who else is doing good things in Florida? Donald Trump. Donald Trump has opened up Mar-a-Lago and other resorts to FP&L workers, Florida Power and Light workers. Other first responders have used his golf courses and hotels, etc., for staging areas. Isn't that great? I think it's great. And President Biden, ooh, I hate to say that, but all right, President Biden has gone out of his way.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And we'll hear this in a little bit. To say that Governor Ron DeSantis is a total gentleman and has done everything and interacted in exactly the way that the governor of a state which is experiencing this should act. I mean, it's really weird. Oh, all right, we got a last-minute change here. Brian Maloney's going to be with us a little bit later today. He's just running a little bit behind. Yeah, absolutely, Germ. Let's just swing him. Not really a problem there. My buddy Chris Beach, I know, is going to be along, I think, 4:05. Chris Beach, Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia, great organization. We were actually in training a little bit earlier today together because we've got our program to go inside the jails. It's called the Inside Out Dad Program. And what we do is to say to those guys that are behind bars, listen, you've got a child and you've got responsibilities and you're going to make some changes. Now, it's not done in that way, not like orders, but it is very honest and it is from the heart. And we're just doing our best. So, long story short, Chris Beach and I were in training with that a little bit earlier today. But Chris is going to be with us because we got our Father Christmas effort that's getting kicked up and ready. If you've got a dad who needs some help, or you want to be like Jamal and Jeff and sponsor a dad, we've got opportunities. We'll talk about it all straight ahead. It is 329, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It's Friday Eve for everyone. We've got great stuff on the way. And I'm very happy, as you are, to say that our friend Charles Pyle is back, taking care of our news this afternoon. He was absolutely missed. Good to have him back. You can certainly hit me up on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. And let me address a text, and then we're going to get to Ron DeSantis on Kamala. 804 says, Jeff, no way I believe inflation dropped. Well, I'm with you. I heard the news report twice now, and I would respectfully disagree. There's no good news there. There's no good news there. Let me give you the actual numbers, because the actual numbers are painful and they are ugly, but they are the actual numbers. Since Kamala Harris has been in power, since Joe Biden has been in power, we have seen increases in the cost of goods when all is averaged together of 20.5%. That's the number as of today. Economists crunch those numbers. Some economists are willing to share them. Economists that work for the government do their damnedest to cook those books to make sure you don't see all of them. And those economists who are working for Kamala Harris, man, well, they're too busy smoking dope to actually pass that around to you, so they don't know. 20.5%. And I ask you today, as I've asked you in the past, have you gotten a pay increase that approaches that amount? Have you had your salary increased by 20.5% in the last 4 years? If the answer is no, then you today are making less than you were 4 years ago. It's math. What's the phrase? The math's not mathing. That math's not mathing for me. I'll tell you that right now. I certainly haven't gotten a 20.5% increase. I've chatted with John Reed. I know he hasn't gotten an increase of 20.5%. In fact, I would tell you, I'm not sure I know anybody who's gotten a 20.5% pay increase in the last 4 years. I do know some people who have had their salaries increased starting at the rate of inflation just to cover the difference. You know who those people are? They work for Carl Carlson and his team at Carlson Financial. When Carl does his yearly evaluations, unlike some people who just pull numbers out of their nose or wherever they come from. Well, you know, we're going to do this, and maybe we'll do that, and it's like, really? Do you want to sit there and insult people, or do you want to, you know, move on with it? You know, you just move that around a little bit, and it'll all be fine. Now, let me tell you about me, and let me tell you about this, and let me say, whoa, hang on a second there, Bob Louie. Can we talk about the numbers? We all go through that, don't we? Unless you work at Carlson Financial. Because what Carl has shared on this program for years, his evaluations on a yearly basis start by sitting down with whoever it is, a financial planner, a receptionist at the front desk. I mean, he's got a lot of people that work for him. And he says, okay, well, look, here's what the annual rate of inflation was. Let's say for last year it was, 6.2%. I am going to make a number up for a second. Say, all right, well, we are automatically increasing your salary by 6.2% just to get you back to where you were. Now let's talk about an increase moving forward. That's the way companies ought to operate. That's the way employees ought to be treated, right? You ought to be able to say, well, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. But, hey, if the price of goods has gone up 20.5% in the last 4 years, I need to know if my salary has gone up 20.5%. Now, maybe you've gotten some pay increases that maybe they approach that. I don't know. I have no idea what your situation is. Maybe you're in a situation, well, you know what, Jeff, didn't go up 20%, but it went up 15%. Okay, well, you're better than someone who hasn't gotten anything, but you're still making less today than you were 4 years ago. That's not a good way to go about achieving economic and financial freedom. It just isn't. And I've learned a lot about this whole financial freedom thing working with Carl. And this is not a commercial for Carl. It's just, I just want to share some of my experiences with you. Because we all talk about retirement. Well, I'm going to get to be 65 and I'm going to do this. I'm going to be 67, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be 108 and I'm going to still be working because I'm going to still have bills. Okay, well, problematic. But if you look at your situation, say, all right, like my boys, right? Harry's 23, Joe is 20. I'm setting them up as best I can with some money that they can't touch, right? That's why I've got like my coaching with cats, my little side business so that I can have employees. You want to think about that. Maybe you can employ my sons. But, you know, you want to have something where you can pay yourself, pay your family members a salary. Because when you're paying them a salary, you can also put money into a retirement plan for them, and they can't touch it. And even though they want to complain, oh, Dad, just give me the money. You say, no, I actually do know better than you are. And not just because I'm older, but because I know better than you do. Okay. And they're going to get to a point, now, and I don't know what the point is. Maybe it's when they're 50 years old. Now, I'll imagine I'd be long gone by the time they're 50. But they're 50 and they go, you know, we can access this money and we don't actually have to go to work anymore. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to be working because they're going to be working and they're going to be investing their money. You got to do this stuff. I wish my dad had had the vision. He didn't. My dad worked for the federal government his entire life after he got out of the Army. He had a very, very brief stint in the dreaded private sector. And he worked for my aunt, Eve, and Evelyn. Excuse me, my Aunt Evelyn. We called her Eve because we had another Aunt Evelyn that nobody liked. But this Aunt Evelyn, everybody liked. So he worked for her and my Uncle Paul. And we actually had another Uncle Paul. And we liked both Uncle Pauls. But he worked for them in their toy store. He was the manager of the store. And then he went and he managed like the garden section of some home improvement kind of thing. But he was always working a second job because the federal government at the time really didn't pay much money. The deal when you worked for the federal government in the, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s was, hey, we're not going to pay you a lot of money, but you'll always have really good health care. Oh, and you'll have a pension and, you know, you're never going to get fired because you work for the federal government. So that's what he did. And his real motivating factor for all of it was, well, what happens to my wife? Will she have health insurance? Now, at the time, it was Blue Cross Blue Shield. Man, that was like the gold standard. You couldn't get better than Blue Cross and Blue Shield from the federal government. So that's what he got. And she had a pension of some sort that would keep going even after he passed away, blah, 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 blah. So that's what he was interested in. And he didn't know anything about investing. He didn't know anything really about saving other than, well, you have a passbook from your bank and, you know, every couple of weeks you go in there and you put some money in. So I'm trying my best to educate the boys a little bit and say, when you get to be 40, you will have had 20 years of working, whatever your profession is. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope you're doing something that is rewarding and meaningful and makes you feel better each and every day. But when you get to 40 and you look at your bank accounts, you look at your investments, you say, you know, I don't have to work anymore. Today's the day I can say, no, I'm not coming in. I'm going to go. I got a sailboat. I'm going to sail around the world. I don't know what it is, but that's a beautiful thing to have. And I'm just sharing with you that if you have not gotten that sort of an increase in your salary in the last 4 years, assuming you have a salary, then you are making less today. Now, there are other people who were in business. Right. My brother from another mother, Stan Andruski. Talk about an interesting guy. right? Stands a kid from the streets of Boston. That's the image. And it's true. But his dad didn't, quote, have a job, per se. His dad had service stations. Dad was a brilliant mechanic, had his own service station. So Stan grew up looking at people in business and having a sense of that. And I think that's part of the reason Stan is so incredibly successful now. I mean, honest to goodness, Stan and I just, we think the world, well, I think the world of him. I think he likes me. I'm not entirely sure. But, I mean, I love the guy. And we have a lot in common, but we also have some real differences, and that's one of them. My dad grew up, he was always an employee. My dear friend Stan grew up, his dad was always in business of some sort. That's pretty cool. Hey, we've got that Ron DeSantis educating everybody on Kamala Harris, right? Can we take a listen to cut number one?
You've been around this block. You've done this before. You've obviously pre-positioned a lot of things, as you've just talked about. You've also talked to President Biden numerous times and federal officials. Wondering what you feel about this focus on misinformation and the comments about it. I know you heard Jackie Heinrich's piece about the president saying it was unpatriotic, it's un-American. And he said former President Trump was behind that.
So here's what I'd say. My job is to manage this process and lead the state through this. I am using every lever at my disposal, including federal government resources. I've marshaled all the agencies in the state government, and we're working like never before to supplement our local communities. I've got to get the job done, and that's what I'm focused on. Now, people have asked me about, you know, is FEMA going to do this? Just let me be clear, in Florida, we run the show. FEMA's not running the show. We will utilize them to support some of the things we're doing, but you are not going to see FEMA running amok in Florida. I know that's been out there on the internet. That is not going to happen. I'm the sheriff that's in charge here, and we will make sure to protect you. Don't worry about it.
And I heard what you said about Vice President Harris and the phone call. Did she ever get through?
You know, Brett, like I said, my job is to marshal resources and work with everybody to have an effective response. And she thinks it should be about her. If I honestly thought that there was something to be gained, I would pick up the phone and call her. The fact of the matter is she has no role in this process. She's not part of the chain of command. I am working with President Biden and FEMA and our state and local partners, and we're getting the job done. She has never been interested in any of the storms we've had in the state of Florida for her entire time as vice president. Now she's out there attacking me because I'm not catering to her whims. All she's trying to do is inject herself to be a part of her political campaign. I don't have time for political games. We've got a job to do. We got people's lives on the line, and that is our sole focus.
Well, most importantly, hopefully everyone gets through this okay. We're praying for your state.
Bam! I love Ron DeSantis. Oh, he'll be president someday. There's no doubt about that. He is just rock solid. Love him. Oh, now, I'm not crazy about Joe Biden as president, but even he had something interesting to say. We're going to listen to that in just a moment. Now, a couple of minutes from now, my dear friend Chris Beach, Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia, is going to join us. Looking forward to chatting with him. We've got Brian Maloney, Dr. Keith Ablo, one of the stars of the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is coming to the Altria Theater again, a very limited run. I saw it last year with Joe, and it's a very interesting show to see with your child, I'll tell you that. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Hey, anybody have any challenges for the Polar Plunge? You know, the Special Olympics Polar Plunge. Every year raises money for Special Olympics. I love Special Olympics. I love Special Olympians. My favorite Special Olympian these days, I mean, I don't mean to embarrass her or anything, but she is a star. Emily Morrissey. Ah, love Emily. She is a world-class gold medal Special Olympics bocce ball player. Whew. Man, she puts all the other players to shame. It's a little, I feel a little bad for them, but what are you going to do? When you're the best, you're the best. Anyway. Carl Leonard and I are trying to figure out some ideas. Carl said, I am not trying to press you into this. I'm not saying you have to be involved. Remember last year, Carl and I both got the Special Olympics of Virginia logo tattooed as a result of raising, what did we raise? Was it $10,000? I mean, I don't remember. $20,000? It was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. And our friends out there at Journey's End Tattoo Studio in Powhatan actually came through. It was I was blown away. I really was. That Journey's End Tattoo Studio in Powhatan just said, you know what? We'll do the tattoo for free. Mike Ivey did. He's a great guy, too. But what are we going to do this year? So I've got some ideas. I don't know. But if you've got any, why don't you send me a note on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. No, we don't have enough time for the Joe Biden clip here. So I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to stick around. And right at the beginning of the 4 o'clock hour, I will let you hear what President Joe Biden had to say about Governor Ron DeSantis. And well, no, you may be laughing now, but once people hear what you said, it's not going to be the people on your side of the aisle who are.
Come on, man.
Well, it's true. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. We've also got Chris Beach from the Fatherhood Foundation coming up right at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk about Father Christmas, how we're going to be able to help some dads here locally. It is 357 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.